Welcome back to KZPT Audio. This is the off-season cut, week 5 out of 16. We are almost a third of the way there, and some I'm not going to say unfortunate, but I am going to... My weight is back up. I was on a very constant downtrend for the last 4 weeks. It was feeling really good. I lost about 2.5 kilos. Jumped on the scales this morning and my weight is back up about 2 kilos. So nearly where I started in week one, which, you know, to most people, when you're going through a cut and when you're trying to lose weight and you see that number, it can really feel like that the last 4 weeks or so has been an absolute waste. It's been a waste of time. All that hard work that you've done is gone, and you know, what was the point in doing that? And that can really derail people. I've seen it hundreds of times with clients and athletes that I work with, that, you know, one slip up week, or, you know, one really bad weigh-in where, you know, it just negates weeks of hard work, can further derail and, you know, stop the motivation to keep going afterwards. Now, for me, when you jump on those scales initially and you see that number, you know, usually you'll know, you know, you can sort of lie to yourself and think that you're going to see a drop, but deep down, you really know when you deserved that, when you deserve a weight loss, or if you deserved a weight gain, depending on how it went. And if I go and look back over the last week and weekend, I knew that the scales, like, there wasn't going to be a dramatic drop. I wasn't really going to have a number that I was super proud to jump on this podcast and talk about. I knew that going in, but I still, you know, this is a part of the reason why I wanted to do this podcast, was because, you know, I still felt that need, obviously, to jump on so that I could share with you guys, you know, where it was sitting. But yeah, it was hard because I knew it wasn't going to be a great week. You know, my carbs had definitely upped throughout it. I actually had McDonald's for the first time in these last 5 weeks over the weekend. We were driving home, and, you know, we were about to get home late, and it was, you know, it was an excuse. And, you know, we said, "Do you want Macca's?" I was like, "You know what? Yeah, you know what? Let's just do it." You know, I fought it off for a second in my head where I was like, "Nah, you know, like, I don't need it. I'm being good." And then just, it didn't take much convincing to have it and to, you know, order it. And there we have it. You know, I had it. So yes, I knew that this weight wasn't going to be a great one. However, does this mean that the last 4 weeks have gone to waste? I really do not believe that at all. You know, and the photos can show it, because if we go to the progress photos of this week, you can see that even, so these are from the first week where I took the photos, where my weight was comparable and it was around the same weight, right? You can see here that I am still leaner, and even if it's not leaner, you know, body fat wise, if I was to get a DEXA scan and we were to analyze exactly how much we had, or like what the body fat percentage was, it's probably, you know, pretty comparable. There's probably a small drop. However, how I look from photo to photo, obviously the left side being the first one and the second side being this week, you can see that I look fuller. The muscles look fuller. I'm able to hold the pose better. I look, you know, my lats and my chest and my shoulders, they've all started to round out a little bit. And that has to do with the training. That has to do with, now that this last week I have upped my carbs and I did go above what I was doing before, my body has soaked that up. And, you know, when you eat carbs and when you eat, you know, higher sugary foods, its first goal isn't necessarily to put on body fat. It's not like as soon as you eat carbs and you eat rice and stuff, that goes straight and turns into body fat. The first thing that it wants to do is fill up your glycogen stores. So it wants to, and where are our glycogen stores? There's some in the liver, and then there's a lot in our muscles as well. So when you're losing body fat and you're in a process of trying to drop body fat, the first thing that happens is you deplete your glycogen stores in the muscle, because that is the energy that it can be used to do the weight training. And then once that is starting to deplete, body fat will start to pull off as well, and we'll use body fat to create energy and to burn calories. So when you go and have what would be considered a refeed, the first initial response that your body wants to do is, oh, okay, we've got carbs and we've got sugar now. Sweet, let's take it all to the muscle. You know, let's really fill it out and look good, you know, and make sure that it's ready for the next workout to come in and they feel nice and strong, because that's the first energy that it's going to be used in weight training. So I don't think that there's a lot of, even though my weight has gone up almost a kilo and a half in the last week, it doesn't necessarily mean that I've put on a kilo and a half of body fat, right? I worked hard to drop that, you know, and I dropped, not necessarily just when I lost that kilo and a half, you know, from the start to now, and more, that does not mean that I lost a kilo and a half of body fat. There is so much going on the scales at the same time that, you know, you can't just deduce that every time there's a weight drop, that's exactly what it was, right? So regardless of where it is, that I could sit here and pontificate all day on, you know, how I lost it, where I lost it from, you know, what energy systems were used. That's all well and good, but we're never going to really be able to know for certain unless I go into a lab and they poke me with all sorts of stuff and jump me on machines and test all these stuff. And for you or me or the average person, we don't have the resources to do that. So there's no point, you know, hypothesizing and really thinking about, you know, how much exact body fat I lost from that 2 kilos, or when the weight goes up, you know, like that's all body fat, or it's this, or it's carb water. You know, we have to look at what we can look at, and that is, you know, what the difference looks like in photos, you know, when we look at our training performance and our general mood and digestion, and, you know, all those other things that I love to talk about, because those are the factors that drive progress. Okay, so if you look there, there is still a significant difference. Yes, I am sort of puffed up that little bit extra, but the thing that I talk about with progress photos is every time you take progress photos, you try and look your best. Not necessarily sucking in at the stomach, but chest up nice and tall, shoulders out wide, you know, try and show off your body even when you don't feel confident about it. Because as you start to lose weight, that's what's going to keep the most consistent progress indicators. You know, we're going to be able to see from photo to photo how much change there really is. If one photo you're sitting there and your shoulders are all forward and you look kind of yuck and, you know, shoulders rounded and belly out, and then the next one you're standing up nice and tall like this, then yeah, that's really going to skew how it looks, you know, and what you can really see. Every single time you want to be showing off the muscle, you know, you want to be trying to flex your abs, not sucking in, flexing the abs. You want to try and have those shoulders out, chest up nice and tall, all of those things, so that when you start to drop the body fat, that's where it's going to be noticeable first in those sort of poses. And that's what you're really looking for. Yes, of course, you know, we all want to be lean, just being able to walk around, six pack out, not having to suck in, all of those things. But until we're there, this is how you want to be taking progress photos. Okay, now if we go across to the left here, right, similar deal here, you can see that these are comparable weights, but around, especially around the arms, around the upper neck and back, and even a little bit of chest, and around the stomach, even there is like tighter than what it was at the same weight 5 weeks ago. Okay, so I know that body fat loss is still happening. However, even though the weight is comparable again, because how they look different in each photos, right? That was me trying to tense my abs in that first photo, and that's me trying to tense, and you can see just slightly that it is starting to, you know, it is starting to show off a little bit better. It's still nowhere near where I want to, and luckily enough, I have given myself more than enough time to continue to bring this down, and I have to continue to make these constant changes to keep it happening. However, it is moving in the right direction. I am happy with the progress so far. Yes, look, the other thing to point out as well is that making the, you know, going higher in calories for this last week, it also allowed me to train way harder, okay? My sessions have felt fantastic, which means even though the food has gone up and the weight has gone up, I've been able to lift heavier weights. I've been able to train for longer and be more motivated to train. So I'm getting better stimulation of the muscle when I'm training, because I'm loving it as I'm doing it. And that is a huge factor into how your body looks, right? Yes, body fat is as well, but also being able to create muscle fullness, being able to train hard and heavy and create new muscle tissue is, in my personal endeavors, what I'm after. I'm after a muscular, vascular, leaner body. And part of that is weight training, and I've got to feel good for that. So you have to fuel yourself as well. And that's something I'm going to talk about a little bit as soon as I finish this, about fueling your body for the correct training. Okay. So you can also see here slightly less changes, but you can see that the muscles are popping out a little bit more throughout. So the upper back and shoulders are starting to come out a bit more, especially around the rear delts area there. I'm seeing more fullness in those upper back muscles, which is what I'm training a lot. Starting to look better, even though the weight is comparable. So all it's going to take for me is in this next week is to bring it back down, dial it. I had that little bit of time off and it felt great. I continued to train all the way throughout it. So it's not like I took a complete break off. It was just I got a little bit lax with my diet. We're going out, we saw a few friends, and I've chosen to do this way. We can go back here. So I've chosen to do this fat loss stage a lot more lax and a lot more loose than how I've done it in the past, which led to a lot of rebound dieting, right? Where it was lose weight very fast, gain weight very fast. Whereas right now, I'm glad that I'm not seeing as much fluctuations and it is staying a little bit closer in, because that's what's important to me. The fact that I'm in control of my weight and my body is the most important thing. So overall, super happy with how it's going so far. I'm really happy with the training specifically. Every time I'm going into the gym at the moment, my numbers are going up. I'm training quite regularly, haven't missed a day of training. I'm still ignoring that cardio a little bit. I should be doing more. I want to do more. I keep talking about it on this podcast, and something is gonna have to give sooner or later. I was talking about picking up a sport last week, still in the process of that. But in all honesty, it's going to be walks. This weather is not helping whatsoever. So I'm thinking what I'm gonna try for this week, because there's two things that you really gotta weigh up when you're looking at cardio, right? How long do you have to actually perform cardio, right? And how in what is your intensity or stress threshold when it comes to cardio, right? So if you have only 15, 20 minutes in the morning to do cardio, because you weight train at night, you've got to make dinner for your kids, blah 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 blah. You have to really think about what sort of cardio you should be doing then. Okay, so if you only have 15 minutes, you might have to do a slightly more stress-inducing, higher intensity style of cardio. Maybe running, maybe skipping. However, the problem with those sort of cardios is it also creates a lot of fatigue and stress on joints and muscles. So think of cardio as like this balancing act between, what's going to allow me to do this for the longest? So how am I going to be able to perform more cardio without getting overly injured, without, creating too much stress and fatigue on the overall like nervous system and the body? Really trying to balance those two things. This is why you'll see a lot of bodybuilders really just prioritize walking and just doing incline walk on the treadmill. Some of the biggest dudes, do not run, do not do anything of super high intensity. They just walk on the treadmill, slight incline for hours on end for 30 minutes, 45, 60, 90 minutes. I've seen it all. I've seen 90 minutes twice a day. I did that for a little while because it's something that you can do long term. You can do that and you get off the treadmill and you still feel pretty good. I feel like, oh, I could have done another half an hour of that. That was nice. But you've still increased that calorie burn for the whole day. Whereas, let's say you want to go for a run instead. Let's say you run for one day, you go for a run and, oh yeah, that was tough. I feel a little bit sore, but I can do that again. And then you'd go for the second day Same thing, you know, you start to get a little bit worse for wear, and you're like, oh yeah, my knee, I start to get a little bit shin splints, like as you're going there. And then you come back for the third day, and then it's like, oh, my knee, I can't do it. And then you're out for a week and a half, right? That is way, way worse. Did you burn more calories in those 3 runs than if someone was doing a walk? Yes, absolutely. There's no question to that. However, that person who's walking is going to be able to go the fourth day, the fifth day, the sixth day, the 10th day, the 20th day, the 45th day. You're going to be able to keep doing it because it's not wreaking havoc on your body. So you have to weigh up where you are with that, right? If you have 60 minutes or 45 minutes or 30 minutes free in your day to start performing cardio, then and you know you've got that consistently, then yeah, maybe you should just go for more so a walk or something that's much less impact, so that you can keep doing it and more so get into a habit of doing it, rather than with the, you know, running or doing the Stairmaster or something. When it's super high intensity, you're going to do it for 2, 3 days, and then you're just not going to feel great. Another, I guess, perspective or way to look at this, and this is what a lot of you know, more progressive and newer age coaches talk about now, is, you know, scrapping cardio altogether and instead looking at the total daily steps and that total daily activity over the day, right? So if you have a Fitbit watch or an Apple Watch or Garmin or Samsung or whatever of those, anything that tracks your steps, then another way you can look at it is like, okay, instead of having to do 30 minutes of cardio each day, you set yourself a total number of steps that you have to complete each day. So, you know, it's hard now, especially because a lot of people are working from home, you know, so there's really not much distance that needs to be traveled organically or, you know, just naturally. Everything has to be a little bit more deliberate. But if you set yourself, say, all right, I'm going for that 10,000 steps or that 12,000 steps each day, then you can allow that to happen naturally. You can go to the shops and knock out 4,000 to 5,000. You know, you can walk around your house, you know, and just do that sort of on your lunch breaks, you know, and knock out 2,000 to 3,000 instead of saying, I need to be on the treadmill, incline, that amount of speed for a certain amount of time. You can make it up anywhere you need. And then if it gets to the end of the day and you haven't hit them, then you go for a walk and you make up the rest of it. You know, that's really the only way to look at it. But all of these things that I'm talking about right now and different ways to look at cardio and all and training and blah, 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 we need to look at it all, everything, you know, all of this stuff is a part of looking and feeling better, right? And I know this because I went through a period of time where I made all of these things a top priority in my life, where nothing else mattered. You know, I made sure that I was training every single day. I did my 30 minutes of cardio every single day. I meal prepped and made sure that every Tupperware container meal was exactly where it needed to be, and I ate at a specific time, pre-workout training, post-workout. I made sure every supplement was there. I was going to bed at 10 o'clock and waking up at 6 o'clock every day. I was making sure that 8 hours of sleep was there. I was drinking 3 liters of water a day. I was making sure that, you know, I was eating greens. I was actually getting my 5 serves of vegetables and my 2 serves of fruit every single day. And I did this for over 12 to 16 weeks. And I noticed that it worked. I noticed that I felt incredible. I felt strong. I felt like I could take on the world. I felt like my mind was so clear. I felt that, you know, my body was, it looked the best that it ever had. You know, everything started to come together. And so I know that these pillars are what are important to looking and feeling better. However, living day-to-day life, you know, how long could I sustain that for? The answer is I didn't sustain it for longer than 3, 4 months, and then I completely backtracked and threw it all out the window because it was too hard. Okay, and I wanted to have a good relationship with, you know, my friends, my wife, my family, you know, and focusing on all of those things and being selfish like that stopped all of those things, and it affected and impacted my relationships with that. So I decided to make a change, and I went too far in the opposite direction. So if we can look at these all as pillars, we can look at weight training, we can look at some form of physical cardio, right? So whether it is walking, running, sport, a physical job, whatever it is, we look at water, we look at supplements, we look at we look at digestion, I guess, and we look at that type of food, the diet, then it's about picking a, one, two, three, four, however many you can truly manage at one time, and do them well. Actually start bringing them together. You don't need all five, and you especially don't need all five from the get-go. You can pick one, right? It is totally okay to start weight training, right? So just decide, you know what? Now it's time to start. I'm gonna get into the gym and I'm gonna start weight training, right? And even if everything else stays shit, you don't change your diet at all. You're still eating out every single night in, ordering Uber Eats because you hate cooking. You haven't changed your water. You're still sleeping like shit. You're doing everything else. That is not a, you can still start there, right? And you can still see results. And you got to think of it almost like a snowball where one thing starts to go right, then you'll feel more motivated and you'll feel more engaged to go and pick up a few more of these pillars, and then all of a sudden you're doing all of these things and it's happening so naturally, but you didn't have to overhaul your entire life just to lose a couple of kilos, right? Pick one. One of my favorites to start is actually starting with supplementation, right? Supplementation is a topic that I don't talk about a lot on here. Because I think it's very individual. Obviously, you should always talk to your doctor and get a blood test and make sure that you're taking things that are specific to you. However, there are just certain supplements, vitamins, minerals that we need. It is shown out there in the studies that we need omega-3s. We need vitamin D. We need vitamin A. And blah 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 blah. We need these supplements, or like need these vitamins, minerals, and hormones to function well and to actually feel good, and and for everything to function properly. And I hear a lot of people that turn around and say, "Well, I don't need supplements because I try and get everything from my diet." Okay, look, fair. However, do you actually understand what it takes to get all the necessary foods from your diet, right? Just from food alone. That means you have to be eating almost every, like it, I interviewed the bodybuilding dietitians, and one of the things that they said was, you should be trying to eat food, veggie, fruit and veggies from every color of the rainbow almost every day, and cycling them throughout the week, having 20 to 30 different pieces of fruit and vegetables in your diet every day, right? That's just to get like your vitamins and minerals. That's not even talking about, what it takes to get iron and what it takes to get your omega-3s and your omega-6s, and making sure that that's all balanced, and then making sure you get enough creatine in there so that your weight training is strong. You'll be eating so much that it's going to be almost impossible to actually stay in a calorie deficit, and it's going to require a lot of prep. Now, if you don't like cooking and you already don't have a great diet and you are a little bit overweight, it goes to show that you're probably not getting the nutrients that is needed from the foods that you're having already. So I encourage people, I guess, to not be scared of supplements. My advice is to just get more so educated on what your body needs. I don't miss my supplements. If I don't go to the gym, even if I wake up late and I'm gonna miss work or I'm gonna do whatever, those things, I can feel the physical difference inside of me when I take all the things that I need. And I can go through and I can show you. I've actually got a video way back where it's still pretty close. It was about 2 years ago during COVID, where I went and broke down every food and every supplement that I keep in my diet consistently. And that is still true to this day. There's a few things that I've mucked around with and added a few things, taken away a few things, but the overall premise is all there. And I encourage you to go and have a look at that and see where do you sit on that. Because if you're going to not, just if you decide I don't want any supplements, vitamins, minerals, pre-workouts, protein shakes, you want to cut it all out and you want to do this purely from food, you're going to struggle. It's going to be hard, and you're either going to lose the weight and feel very crappy and like feel yuck a little bit, or you're just simply not going to be able to lose the weight because you're eating so much different food to try and get all your vitamins and minerals to work together. And this is why supplements can be a great thing. That's just another pillar across from water, training, sleep, blah, blah, blah. So looking at all of those things and making sure that you can pick one to two of them and do them really well and actually stick to it for at least week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, and gather that rhythm, and then decide, okay, cool, can I keep these things going? Awesome. Now, what of those other five, six, seven pillars can you bring in as well and keep moving those forward and keep going, right? Cool. But I guess I want to now, I am trying to cut weight, right? I am trying to lose the body fat. However, I think all of us, we tend to want to look like we just want to look better because when we look better, we feel better, right? And it sounds really vain, and it sounds like, a real narcissist, I guess, or something like that, to be so attached to the way that we look. But having been on both sides of the spectrum where like I felt super overweight and I've had no confidence and I had no energy and I felt like just really bad. And then, going to the flip side where yes, I went a little too far where like I was really, really lean and lost a lot of body fat and felt just as terrible. Along that spectrum, there was a sweet spot for me that felt amazing, that felt like I could take on the world, felt like I was super strong, I was super lean, I could r outrun people on in basketball, I could jump higher, I didn't feel like a lot of really bad cravings, and like my food and my appetite was really managed. Everything was almost perfect, and that was, in a certain little weight range for me. That's between 80 to 82. And for reference, now I'm sitting at around 89 as of today. So, and look, I still feel good, I still feel great, and I feel strong and everything like that, but there's still that part of me that I still want to drop and look that little bit tighter and a little bit leaner. And I guess for myself, obviously, being in the fitness industry, there is that stigma that, you need to look a certain way. And, do I let that define me? No, but it is something that I just really enjoy throughout that. So what I wanted to do today is actually show you what I would consider, because I like to ask people, what do you want to look like? Okay. What do you actually want? And, first off, I'll show you exactly one of my favorite physiques, and what I would love to look like, even though I don't necessarily think it's possible. It's my dream, and the way that I look at it is, even if I never get there, the journey to that is going to get me as close as I possibly can, so why not just go for it? Even if I never actually get it, the journey or the pursuit to there is the only way I'm going to get even close. So get a look at this guy. This guy is bloody incredible. Shout out to Metalman. He's over in Spain, or well, over in Madrid, sorry. But just look at that physique, right? He's got the leanness, and he's got the fullness, and at the same time, like it just looks incredible. He's got the thickness, so he's not super tall. The shoulders bulge out. He's not like super, super shredded, but you can still see the nice six pack. That there is like one of my favorites, like the obliques when they look tight. That's one of my favorite things in the world. Quads and legs, in proportion to the rest of the body. It's not like a lot of these physique dudes. For me, this is what I consider like a great body and something that I would like to go against, or come close to. Will I ever get there? To be honest, probably not. Like requires number one, obviously a lot of dedication, a lot of time. He's obviously in his mid-30s to mid-40s, so that requires a lot of muscle maturity. And not only that, also requires most likely, I'm not going to sit here and accuse, but in most he is an IFBB competitor, a lot of drugs, right? A lot of drugs that I'm not willing to take. So will I ever get actually look like this? Probably not. But this is an idea of, you know, what I consider a great body. And most of you will look at this and be like, dude, like that is just sick. Like you don't need to look like that. You know, it's too muscly. It's too whatever. Fine. Great. What do you want, right? What do you actually want to look like? You know, and then you have to work out what do they do? Because if I look at this guy, what does he do? Well, he weight trains. He weight trains a lot and he goes super heavy. You know, and he does a lot of weight training. So we can see here, right? I don't even know what it says on there. And it doesn't matter. I just know that it's, you know, it's how I want to look, you know? So he does weight training. He's in the gym all the time. He tries different exercises. You know, he obviously eats really well. He puts up a lot of videos about the stuff that he eats, right? But I know I've got to do these kinds of things. And look, if anything is showing here, he does a lot of legs. And that is something that I do not do enough of. So, you know, something that I have to consider, you know, if I really want that, I'm going to have to start pumping up the legs more, okay? But enough of this guy. The question is, what do you want to look like, right? So let's go and, because I think this is going to be one of the last points that I sort of talk about, and this is expectations of what is possible. For example, I had a guy that I was training, and he sends me, we were talking a little bit about it, you know, about how we want to look and stuff like that. And, you know, he's always saying, you know, I do want the muscle. I like the nice, you know, slim look, but still muscular. And I'm like, yeah, for sure. So I was training this guy, and he trained with me usually twice a week. Pretty small, like shorter dude. Actually had a pretty good physique, right? You know, for a guy in his mid-30s, he didn't quite have abs yet. And had a small, he had a little bit of body fat around the stomach, but was quite vascular around the arms and the shoulders. You know, he had a nice posture, you know, chest up, had good there. Had the V that we were talking about. And we were talking a little bit about, you know, what you want to look like, you know, and what is the end goal for you. And he went home to think about it. And then later that night, he sends me a photo and he goes, do you think that this is possible for me? Okay. Now I'm going to put it up, right? He sends me this photo. Now, mind you, the guy that I'm training at this point is training 2 times a week. Right, he's training with me twice a week, not necessarily watching his diet. He's still going out on the weekends and, you know, and having a few beers and blah, 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 right? But this was like his end goal, and he thought that it was quite attainable. He's like, this is what I want, you know, like if I train hard, I'll be able to get there. And I'm like, listen to me. If you don't know who this is Sadiq, the IFBB pro, right? This guy has been training for 15 to 20 years. He has done more bench, he's done more presses and more like reps than you will be able to ever catch up, because he hasn't even stopped, right? Like he has done so much to get there that this doesn't happen by accident, right? None of these super buff looking dudes get there by accident. Everything that they're doing is deliberate. Everything that every rep and every food that goes in their mouth, it's deliberate, right? And so you have to be deliberate in what you're doing to get even close to something that looks like this, right? This is not going to happen from, you know, doing it even how I'm doing it now. I'm not going to look like Madelman, you know, going in the direction, like going in the doing what I'm doing right at this minute. That is going to take way more dedication and way more years for me to even think of being close there. However, everybody starts somewhere. Everybody starts from one specific spot, and it's about building on that over time and doing it in a way that is somewhat enjoyable for you, so that that you can keep doing it. Because the one difference that, you know, those guys, you know, anyone that you look at, whether you want to look like a football player, like an AFL player, whether you want to look like, you know, one of the MMA fighters, you know, because they just got this real nice lean looking body, or you want to look like a bodybuilder or a bikini competitor, whatever it is, it was deliberate and it took time. It took a long time of training and doing it. So just coming in and doing it for 12 months, do not expect to look like one of these dudes, even if you do everything perfectly, because it takes way longer than that. So that's why one of the things that I consider most when writing up a plan or talking to someone, it's about not what is the quickest and fastest way to get there, because if you don't enjoy it, you're not going to keep doing it. So my number one thing that I look at is like, how can we make sure that you can do this for the next 50 years of your life, right? How can we make this something that you actually wake up and look forward to going to? Not necessarily every day. No one wants to train every single day, but how do I get you excited about training? How do I get you excited about, eating the right foods? You need to think of ways and actually understand the person to get there. Right, and then once the habit is built, then it becomes just second nature, and you'll keep going. But you have to build that foundation first. So don't just always follow like that. One of the worst things you can do is just strip everything, and just go and just decide, no, I've had enough. I'm going on a health kick, so I'm cutting out all carbs. I'm going running every single day, and I'm going to the gym 5 times a week, and that's it. I'm done. I'm gonna get there quick. I'm gonna drop all this fat so I feel better. How long do you really think that you're gonna be able to do that for? I promise you, not very long. Not very long, especially if you've got a wife and kids, especially if you've got a husband and kids, if you're working a full-time job, if you have never done it before, so you don't even quite understand the food side of things. You have to take it not necessarily slow, because slow is still hard. You're still going to have struggles, but you need to take it one step at a time and master something and actually get really good at it before you move on to the next thing, right? So just keep your expectations in check. This is why, I've given myself 16 weeks to lose 8 kilos, right? Most people that I speak to, people that want to lose 20 kilos in 10 weeks and 20 kilos in 12 weeks, right? Thinking that it's just going to fly off them regardless of what weight they're starting at. No, give yourself more time to fuck up, to make the mistakes, to readjust. Allow yourself to go through the process and learn to enjoy it. Learn to enjoy and, learn something from everything that you do in this. Because if there's one thing that happens when you get start dieting like this, it's you become very self-aware. It's that you become very understanding and hypersensitive to what you're feeling, whether you feel motivated or, you feel dry, or you feel really weak, or you feel like, you lose your libido. Like you're thinking about all this stuff and like, I feel a little bit weaker than I did yesterday, or oh, I didn't get as much sleep last night, I feel a bit groggy. Like you're always thinking about what's going on in your head. So utilize that and start to realize the patterns and the things that are coming along. That's really what this first part of my cut and my diet season has been really about. It's about re-understanding, what happens when I actually start to take these steps, and go into what would be considered like competing again, and deciding where the rifts are, and what things am I really struggling to get rid of, so that I can come up with better plans and better strategies for the next time and really make the most of it. All right. I hope this all helps. This is week 5, and I will see you all on the next one. Don't forget to, once again, I hope you're watching this on YouTube or Spotify. There was a lot of visual aids here. So thank you so much for listening once again. Please leave a review, ask me some questions. I'm happy to take anything on as we go through the rest of this. All right. Everybody, take care, take it easy, and see you later.